John Strauss, and this is Indiana Weekend, kind of a radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. Always interested in your thoughts, drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you have a suggestion or a comment. Let us know what's going on where you are. There's probably never been a better time to be a bike rider. Whether for exercise, transportation, relaxation, there are now bike trails all over the country, including Indiana, of course. In the eastern part of the state, there's the Cardinal Greenway, longest rail trail in Indiana at 60 miles from Richmond to Marion. And there are the mountain bikers using the off-road trails. Though you won't find any mountains in Indiana, the Hoosier Mountain Biking Association lists 14 trails, including Rangeline Nature Preserve in Anderson, Westwood Park in Newcastle, Town Run in Indianapolis, and others at their website, hmba.org. Not on the list, but sure to be added soon, the loop over at Prairie Creek Reservoir outside Muncie. And one of the people who helped build that newest trail is Mike O'Neill, who we found at his Greenway 500 bike shop just off the Greenway near the reservoir. I've asked around. It seems like everybody who's into bicycles in this part of the state knows Mike O'Neill. He and his wife Misty and son Finley are all mountain bike competitors. The family's very active in the sport. Mike has been into bikes a long time.
Right after college, I graduated college in Massachusetts in 1990. I took the congratulatory cash that all your relatives bestow upon you, and instead of getting a job right away, I bought touring gear, loaded up my bike, and I pedaled across the country. I thought it was a better idea than starting to work right away. So that's how I started. So when you're in the middle of Iowa and you're broke down, you need to really figure out how to, you know, fix all your own stuff. I had certainly started riding, you know, much younger than my college years. I remember going to the town dump with my father, you know, on Saturdays and picking through and you know, he'd be getting rid of things and I'd be putting stuff in the back of the station wagon. I'd be getting all the bike parts I could and I would just tinker with them in the garage and make what I could, and my father would slowly winnow down the pile and make it go back to the dump at some point. So I certainly started tinkering with all the bearings and cables and derailleurs, you know, pretty young. And it was freedom. You know, just a way to move your young self around and not rely on your parents.
What was that trip across the country like?
Oh, it was fabulous. You know, so I started in Massachusetts where I lived. I wasn't too bright.
You went the wrong way.
Prevailing winds suggest you start on the West Coast. Well, you know, it was an economics degree. It wasn't meteorology. So how would I know? But yeah, so I pedaled, kind of headed northwest up into Canada for a while and across the northern states. You know, I saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time in Oregon, and I went all the way down the coast, and I had a sister that lived in LA. So I went and stayed with my sister Colleen and lived there for a while, got some odd jobs, and until I decided to get on a train and go back to Massachusetts. You know, I certainly became gainfully employed at one point, but I guess fortunately, the company I was working for, an investment firm, merged with a firm in Chattanooga. So I found myself sans job. So I rode across the country again. So I've now pedaled across the continent 5 different times. And my wife, Misty, has been with me twice. And actually, I didn't even ask her to marry me until the first time we pedaled across the country. So once we hit the Pacific, again, I keep going the wrong direction, but hit the Pacific, and I proposed to her at that point. I'd carried a ring with me the whole way. And then the next time she and I did it, so we were on a tandem, a bicycle built for two. And I actually sang her the song Daisy Daisy, if you're familiar with that. Of course, I changed it to Misty Misty. But the next time, so it was Misty and I in the tandem, and then a trailer behind us with our then 2-year-old son, Finley. So we dragged his carcass across. He wasn't really adding too many watts. He wasn't that much of a help. But it's so, so wonderful touring. You know, you meet new people every single day. You know, you're in a new place every day. You know, you sleep wherever you can in your tent. Certainly when I started traveling with Misty, we had to get hotels a bit more frequently. You know, when I was touring by myself, I can just jump in any stream and I was just fine. I could go, you know, probably my first trip, I was out there for 2 months. You know, I might have got a hotel twice. but I would literally just sleep on the side of the road and get up in the morning and just do it again. But, you know, when I started traveling with Misty and then Misty and Finley, we had to not rough it nearly as much. So you just meet great, great people out there, and it's wonderful. You know, it's really wonderful to know that the evening news is wrong. All right, unfortunately, it's not wrong, but it's the minority. You know, we just see all the bad stuff on the news. But, you know, you just meet, you know, dozens of people a day, and they're just all so wonderful. You know, and generous, curious. You know, so often, you know, if you ask where a place to put up a tent is, well, just put it up in my yard. And you get your tent up and they say, well, come on in. I fixed some spaghetti and a salad. And it's wonderful because, you know, they just really want to know your stories. And, you know, of course, we're always curious about where we were. So I've certainly learned a whole lot about the country just pedaling around.
What a way to see the country.
Yeah, it's fabulous. So I've pedaled through the 48 contiguous states. So I don't know how I'm going to pedal to Hawaii. That's not going to work.
That's a long time on a bicycle. What do you think about when you're riding that far?
I don't know, because I don't have music when I ride. So many people now, you know, with all the different iPods and things are listening to music. I'd rather hear, you know, cars and such coming my way. I really don't know. I must be good with boredom. No, it's just fabulous. You know, your scenery is changing. You actually become part of the scenery. You know, when you're only traveling at 15 miles an hour on a fully loaded touring bike, you know, everybody else is looking at you also. So you're becoming part of it. Yeah, you know, I guess I mainly think about when I'm out there pedaling, where am I going to find the next place to eat? How far am I going to make it today? And gee, I hope that rain cloud doesn't let loose.
Mike O'Neill, Bike Mike, as he's called, who has ridden across the continent 5 times now. His wife, Misty, has been with him on 2 of those trips. Talk about a good sport. The first time, he proposed to her when they got to the end. The second time, riding a tandem bike as they had before, they had a trailer behind them with their then 2-year-old son, Finley.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
I'm Michael O'Neill, and I am owner of Greenway 500 Bike Shop. A lot of people call me Bike Mike. I didn't know that till somebody showed me their phone once. They figured if they ever broke down on the trail, they could just look Bike Mike, call me, and ask me what to do.
Everybody knows you. Why is that?
Well, because the bike shop abuts the Cardinal Greenway. And, you know, so many cyclists, you know, whether or not they need anything, they're just curious enough to stop in, say hi, take a quick look at the shop, you know, come get a cool drink out of the fridge on a 95-degree humid summer day.
Well, there are bike shop bikes and there are department store bikes, right? Or
yeah. And, you know, I certainly work on all of them, and you need to work on the department store bikes more, it turns out. Well, you need to work on them the day they come home, and I encourage people to do this. You know, I do sell children's bikes, but they're expensive. They're bike shop quality bicycles. They're an adult quality bike that's really little. So they're really pricey. And, you know, I have kids. I realize they outgrow them in 18 months. So I do tell people to go to a box store, pick themselves up a department bike, you know, because they can get it for $89.99. Bring it to me before they present it to their child and let me make it work. Because always the bearings are awful and, you know, the brakes hardly work and it won't shift. So as an industry, we're seeing a lull in new cyclists. And, you know, the industry contributed to a couple things. Video games. You know, just other things to do. And children's bikes are awful. You know, because the first few bikes a kid gets comes from the box store. And if it's not a joy to ride, you really don't stick with it. You know, when you get on and the chain is constantly jumping off and, you know, the kid doesn't know how to put it back on, has to wait for mom or dad to do it later in the day, they forget about it. So the bike has lost some of its fun because of the really, really poor quality. So the bikes can be made to work. So, you know, when you have several kids, you don't have to go broke getting your children into cycling, but you do need to make it safe and operable.
Would you say, are you more of a roadie or a mountain bike rider now?
I'm more of a roadie by default. East Central Indiana is lacking mountains. We certainly have trails and we have some good trail systems. But here in Muncie, you know, our local trails be the Prairie Creek Trails by Prairie Creek Reservoir. Over in Anderson is Rangeline Reserve, and down in Newcastle is a loop around Westwood Reservoir. So, you know, I've certainly done all those many, many, many times. But here, where the bike shop abuts the Cardinal Greenway, you know, our longest paved trail in Indiana, it's much more convenient if I just have an hour to hop on the mountain bike and the road bike and just get some exercise that way. But I certainly do enjoy the mountain bike more.
I mean, the joy of cycling, to explain it for people who, because there are people today, you know, they haven't ridden bikes since they were younger. They're missing something.
They are. It's just fun. You know, a lot of folks, a lot of adults look at cycling as fitness. I try to remind them that it's fun, and fitness is just a pleasant byproduct of the freedom. You know, just get out there and just have the wind in your face and just the lack of, you know, your home concerns. It's a time to, you know, just put the phone and the computer away and just go. So, yeah, people are coming back. You know, I try to remind everybody they don't have to quantify anything. Certainly, I have a lot of customers that are, you know, elite racers, triathletes, and yes, they need to write down their calorie intake, their wattage, their miles, you know, all that stuff. It's very, very important. But for most of us, just to throw our leg over that saddle and go for a ride, you know, and just hit some of the, it doesn't have to be a century. You don't have to get on and ride 100 miles. You know, 10 miles is enough to shake the cobwebs out and, you know, get your work week out of your head. And, you know, there's so many nice places to go just off the trail, you know, to just pop in and have a bite to eat, you know, all the stuff that's on McGalley. You can go up to Gaston, up to the little restaurant up there, and, you know, you can make it all the way down to Richmond if you're feeling a bit more adventurous. But yeah, it just really helps to, you know, get the rest of the world out of your way.
And it's really a different view of the world, isn't it? You see things from the seat of a bicycle you would never notice in a car.
Yes. You know, with all the touring that I've done and, you know, stopping and asking strangers, you know, where am I? How do I get out of here? You know, people say, oh, you've got this massive hill you've got to go over, and well, it's really nothing. Or worse is the other way. They say, oh no, it's pretty quick, you know, it's going to take you a half hour to get to the next town, and, you know, there's a grocery store there. And yeah, it's a half hour in a car. I mean, it's half a day on a bike. So yeah, it is a different perspective. You know, certainly you're more aware of the wind and the grades and the weather.
Mike O'Neill, one of the state's best-known biking enthusiasts and competitors, and enthusiast is the right term here, anybody who's ridden across the continent five times, including twice with his wife on a tandem bike, deserves some props. He's now working on the mountain bike loop around Prairie Creek Reservoir outside Muncie. He fixes bikes at his Greenway 500 bike shop.
How could I forget to mention the bicycle is a good invention?
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So where did mountain biking come from? When did all this begin? More trails are sort of coming online. We're getting one at the reservoir in Muncie, and there's a place in Anderson, and you mentioned, and Newcastle, and 96th Street in Indianapolis. And
started late 70s in Marin County, California. So north of San Francisco on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge there. Mount Tam is there. And, you know, the legends of mountain biking with Joe Breeze, Gary Fisher, Tom Ritchie, all these guys knew each other. They all also ended up with their own bike companies at some point too. But they were tinkering with, you know, Schwinn cruisers. you know, with the Springer forks on the front, and you know, they're welding and brazing, you know, more pieces on to make the bikes more robust, because it was just fun. And you know, they're in cutoffs and no helmets back then. None of this was really thought of, and they're just bombing down the mountains out there. And you know, they'd break something, and they were just learning to keep cobbling stuff together. Then, you know, eventually they started building the whole bike from the ground up instead of just retrofitting. Joe Breez has a bike in the Smithsonian, Breezer 1, as the first, you know, ground up purpose-built mountain bike. I'm sure Tom Ritchie and Gary Fisher may argue they made the first. I have no idea. I've met all of them. I don't know who did it. They all claim it. But yeah, so it started on the West Coast and just gradually it grew across. And it kind of skipped the middle for a long time, because you take the name of the sport, it's mountain biking. So certainly on both the coasts.
Was the idea that you would ride down the mountain? Was that the first?
No, you still had to pedal up. So the downhill thrill is a sub-segment of mountain biking. And it is a lot of fun, and more ski areas are embracing that as they're looking for summer revenue. And I've done that back east, where you just put the bike on the back, they retrofit the ski lifts to put bikes on there, and you take and just bomb on down. So yeah, that is a lot of fun. No, the first ones, they are still pedaling those behemoths up. So fortunately, they're much lighter now.
Would another term for this be off-road biking? I mean, is that like around here, since we don't have mountains, is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah, and it is such a joy to get away from all the cars and the dogs and the noise. You know, and certainly in the summer, you're in the shade. You know, so there's another benefit. And wind doesn't bug you as much. You know, when we're out here on the county roads, they're all in these cardinal directions, you know, you just get into that headwind. You could be in that headwind for the next 30 miles, and it really eats in your brain. But on a mountain bike, you know, to fit the trail through the woods, they're very, you know, serpentine. So now the wind doesn't bug you either. So there's so many great things to riding off the road.
And we have more of those trails now, right? They're coming on.
They do. We're continually building more. And, you know, the National Mountain Bike Association, you know, teams up with the local organizations, of which, you know, there's a couple here in Indiana. And, you know, always looking for a new place to, you know, to site trails, and working with the different government entities to, you know, seek the permission. Then the, you know, doing environmental studies, make sure we're not, you know, intruding on any animal or plant species. So there's a lot of planning that goes in before we can ever put a shovel into the dirt. And then from there, it's a lot of volunteer hours. You know, we try to get the community together and, you know, hack and haul and create a trail where there wasn't.
And this is what you're doing at the reservoir here. Can you talk about that, the origin of it, where things stand and what you all have been doing?
Yeah, here at the southeast side of Prairie Creek Reservoir, you know, we have permission now. Initially, I think we were just kind of bushwhacking it, and we backed off. And so all the environmental studies and stuff have been taken care of.
You know, and that can be costly.
It can be costly, yes. You know, there was an initial roughly $20,000 grant that went towards, you know, just site approval. But, you know, it is Muncie's drinking water, so, you know, we certainly respect that. And it's been years, about 4 years, and you know, we have finally a rideable loop. So come and ride the loop. It's a lot of fun. It's only a couple miles. You'll need to do it several times. But there's finally a rideable loop, so now people are getting excited. There is something to ride. You know, as we're just working, just creating a longer and longer spur that went nowhere, it really wasn't exciting. But now that there's a complete loop, more and more people are coming, and we're hoping that, you know, this will lead to more volunteerism, and we'll be able to get the rest of the trail. You know, hoping to get roughly another 10 miles cut into that corner by the reservoir.
So when it comes to mountain biking or off-road biking, when it comes to road biking, do you think that's any more or less safe now? Maybe more safe because there are more people riding than years ago, but there are a lot of distracted drivers out there, people texting and things. Do you have any feeling about your safety when you're out on the road?
I use a light. I have a flashing rear light that I encourage people to use. Does it guarantee Mr. Texter is going to see you? No. But you're trying.
Even during the daylight?
Even during the daylight, yeah. Batteries are cheap. Or so many of the lights now are rechargeable. It's a good investment. I don't have it on when I ride the Cardinal Greenway. It's unneeded. There's no cars to rear end you. I also utilize a mirror. So I can just keep an eye on cars coming my way. You can certainly hear a car, and you can probably hear if it's more than one car. But if it's a line of three or six, you really don't know. So if I can just take the quick glance in my mirror, you know, I'll know what I need to do.
Ever had any close calls?
Oh, heavens, yes, I've been hit. It's bound to happen. I've ridden a lot. So I guess the odds were in favor of eventually being hit.
How did that happen?
Once riding out west, it was innocent enough. A gentleman just opened his door. You know, he was parked. So that took me out. And over in Cicero, this one was a bit uglier. The gentleman, I had pulled out to get around somebody getting in a car. So I'd come out into the lane, and I, unfortunately, I saw the gentleman look in his rear view mirror. He just slammed on his brakes, and I went up the backside of his car. So I'm really uncertain what that was all about.
I've heard people say that, you know, some folks are antagonistic towards cyclists.
They are. I certainly don't understand it. You know, things get shouted at you, you know, get on the trail. Well, the trail is beautiful. It's a wonderful asset for East Central Indiana, but it doesn't go everywhere. And you'll find that most of us cyclists also have cars, so we're still paying for the road, too. So let us be.
We don't care if we're a little out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. We're gonna make the scene, baby, me and you, on my rocking bicycle that's a built for two.
That is Bike Mike O'Neill, bike shop owner, mountain biking maven, and general biking enthusiast, with a lot to say about the sport, why he likes it, and how to ride safely. It's that time of year. The cycling industry says about $6 billion worth of bikes are sold each year. A lot of people are into fitness, but Bike Mike says, just throw your leg over the saddle and ride for fun. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.